Okay. Hey, great to see you tonight. Before we really get started, let me say a couple things. First of all, great to be here with you. Secondly, great to be here with Pastor Matt. I want to say a couple things that I won't get to say tomorrow and that others will have the privilege of saying. But I think now for the past, 5 years, 6 years, how many years have we been doing this, Pastor Matt? How many, six? For the past 6 years, Pastor Matt Tice has made camp happen, certainly for Front Range Baptist Church, for Liberty Baptist Church, and for many other churches that have joined us. And Pastor Matt, I want you to know, I say this not because I feel like I need to or because it's just appropriate. I say it for two reasons. Number one, I love you and thank God for you. And number two, I am deeply grateful for what you have provided for this group this year and for many groups for the past 6 years. Then, what you experience tonight, I don't know if it will make complete sense to you or not, or if it'll register in the right way, but I don't know if you understand what happened tonight does not often happen. And it is wonderful when it does. I mean, what happened tonight? You guys got to experience something this evening that I hope you get to experience again in the future if necessary. And Pastor Matt, what you did this evening, I just have to tell you, I felt all warm and fuzzy tonight, you know, sitting on the front row. Pastor Matt stood up here and he said, "Hey, I'm going to ask you to do something." And he said, "Would you?" And then he used two words that we don't like to use. Here's what words we like to use. We like to use the words, "Hey, I just wanted to say I'm sorry." And you know, those words are easy to use. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult to say, "Hey, I'm sorry." But it is a lot easier to say the words, "I'm sorry," than it is, "Forgive me." Those words require action. They say, "I have done something that my conscience before God has offended, and I'm asking you now to forgive me." Pastor Matt, what you did tonight was, I don't know if necessary or not. I really don't, because I haven't been around and seen anything. I just know I love you. And I thank God that you're a man of God who was clothed in humility and was able to stand up here and say, "Hey, would you forgive me?" What you experienced tonight is good. And I hope that it's something that, whenever necessary, you'd be willing to do. And that those people that God has placed in your life as leaders would be willing to do as well. And you said it, of course, on your birthday. Pastor Matt, you know, you have celebrated a lot of birthdays up here, and, you know, you've made a sacrifice. Matt, you have something that you guys got together to do. Why don't you come up here, Matt, and tell us just about it, and then we will carry on. Did they sing happy birthday to you this morning? You did? When did they sing happy birthday? I missed the whole thing. Why don't you come up here for just a second, Pastor Matt, because Matt has something right here. And Matt, why don't you tell him about it?
Thank you. Pastor Redlin pretty much said it all. We just want to say we love you, and especially since it's on your birthday. We just, some of the campers got together and want to give you a little something, a little card, and whatever else is in there. And we just want to say we love you and happy birthday.
Let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Matt. Happy birthday to you. All right, take your Bibles tonight and let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. Now, tonight's message is a message that on Thursday night when you've had a lot of activity and you've been, you know, up late every night, up early every morning, is a message that I'm going to ask you to do this. A couple of things. Number one, I'm going to ask you to sit up straight this evening and do your dead level best to, if you take notes, then jot things down that stand out to you and do your best to engage your brain. It is a message that doesn't require like deep, you know, a theological thought, but it is a message that if you'll think about I promise you it'll be a help to you the rest of your life. And so the preaching that we've enjoyed through the course of this week is preaching that just helps our lives. And what you'll hear tonight will help your life. It'll help you 3 months down the road when some of the forward movement of camp seems to wane. You know, sometimes we get this forward movement at camp, and then it seems like maybe it wanes a little bit. Listen, what you'll hear tonight is simply like, oh, I can do that in 3 months. I can do that in 3 years. I can do that for the rest of my life. And so if tonight you will get this principle, it'll help you the rest of your life. Okay, how is it that you got saved? We would use a word in particular, and we would say that you were saved by, and then there's a word that is a thread from the very beginning of Scripture to the very end. You were saved by, what's the next word? You'd say by grace, okay, and then in Hebrews there's this idea, so the grace of God, right? But you had to do something with that grace. In other words, it wasn't just this matter of God saying, I'm going to give you grace, and by the fact that I give you grace, you're saved. Otherwise, every person living would be saved. So you were saved by the grace of God, but that didn't mean that there was nothing required on your part. So it was the grace of God, and then we could also say that you were saved by... Very good. You were saved by faith. Let me tell you, you are not saved because at 4 years old you said a prayer. Now, can a 4-year old have faith? Yes or no? Absolutely. I mean, good night. When you think about a 4-year old having faith, how many of you when you were 4 jumped off something in anticipation of your dad catching you? How many of you ever did it? Okay, how many of your dads just let you drop? Okay, a couple of you. Bam! Okay, when you're 4 years old and you say, Daddy, catch me. And your daddy says, jump! Do you know, a lot of you just didn't even think about it. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter. By the way, some of you, it didn't matter how far away your dad was. You just thought, Dad's going to catch me. I have faith in my dad. So at 4 years old, you understood, listen, all I got to do is just jump and Dad's going to catch me. You believed him. We practice faith on a daily basis. And at 4 years old, some of you trusted Christ and you did so by faith. Now, 2 Corinthians, you have your Bibles open right now. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 says this. It says, examine yourselves. In other words, that passage means, or that phrase means, hey, take a look at yourself. How many of you looked in the mirror before you came to church tonight? How many of you looked in the mirror? Okay, how many of you are scared of what was looking back? Okay, when you look in the mirror, you say, okay, I'm looking. How many of you smiled in the mirror? You're like, did you? How many of you tried to, you know, kind of look and take a peek? You ever flex in the mirror? Yeah, you know, I caught my brother flexing in the mirror when I was a kid. I'm looking right through the little crack in the bathroom door. The bathroom door is open. I'm looking in the mirror, and my brother's doing this in the mirror. Well, you're examining yourself. You're saying, hey, is there anything? There's nothing. Okay, so you're looking and you're examining. The passage, when it begins, says, examine yourselves. And then it tells you what you're supposed to be examining. Take a look at yourself, and what is it that I'm supposed to look for? Let's look a little bit further. It says, examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be. And then the Bible uses the word reprobates. I want you to sit up and hear this, and I want you to listen with both ears wide open. That word reprobates carries the idea of, in a sense, illegitimate. He says, I want you to examine yourself. And then he says, prove yourself. There should be about your life an understanding that my salvation experience, for lack of a better word, my birth into the family of God began by faith. It did not begin because I was told all my life, well, you're saved. It did not begin because I made some prayer before God. It did not begin because you said, listen, I've grown up in church. Your salvation, your legitimacy, is that which the Bible says examine, take a look at. Now, teenager, I think we at times do a disservice to say to you, hey, you're not saved because you said a little prayer. And certainly that's the truth. But you are saved when you say before Almighty God, God, I'm a helpless, hell-deserving sinner. And by faith, I'm trusting that Jesus Christ did for me what I can't do for myself. And so by faith, I'm trusting you. But let me just tell you, if you've never by faith trusted Jesus Christ, the Bible is clear about the fact that you ought to examine yourself. You ought to prove yourself and make sure that you're legitimate. How am I legitimate? By one process, and that is the word faith. Teenager, it's not just about this system of church, you know. Well, we just go to church. It's what we do. It's, you know, what my family does. And I was born into a Christian family, and so that's what we do as Christians. But if I was born into a Muslim family, it's what I do as a Muslim. If I was born into some Mormon family, that's what I do as a Mormon. It's not that. Let me just tell you, a Muslim, if that is what they're placing their faith in, may be genuinely sincere. But I will tell you, they will, pardon the bluntness of this, but a Muslim, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, will spend a Christless eternity in hell. A Mormon, no matter how moral they may be, would be forever separated from God, experiencing the judgment and the wrath of God, unless by faith they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the same is true for any person here. I think this is the truth. I've asked many people repeatedly, how's camp this week? Hey, how's camp? So what's camp like this week? Let me just tell you, the thread that I have heard over and over and over and over, it's like, man, camp is great. The spirit of camp, all the preachers have said this, the spirit of camp is outstanding. It's probably one of the best weeks of camp we've ever had here. That's fantastic. But it's true for every person here, you ought to be able to examine your faith and see, am I legitimate? And teenager, if not, then by faith, you could be birthed tonight into the family of God. It happens by faith. Trust. You know, there is a measure of humility that comes with faith. There is a matter of casting down self, of putting aside pride and saying, God, I'm a helpless sinner. And I don't care what the person next to me has always thought of me. And I don't care anymore what my youth pastor has always thought me to be. I do not care what it's going to cost, my reputation, my anything. God, when I examine myself, when I look at myself and I'm supposed to prove that I am in the faith, I can't do it. Prove it. Examine. How is it that I am someday going to spend forever with Him in eternity? It's by faith, teenager. And if there's never been a time that you were birthed into the family of God by faith, it's how the whole Christian life begins. Okay, so it begins by faith. Now, what happens when you're born into the family of God? What happens? Okay, here's what oftentimes happens in our mind. In our mind, we say something like this, and sometimes we even hear it. We might hear something like this. We might hear that, okay, Matthew, you were born into the family of God. Is that correct? When were you born into the family of God? Okay, so when you're 4 or 5 years old, Matthew said, by faith, you know what? I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I know I'm a sinner, and so I'm going to, by faith, believe that Jesus is my way to heaven. And so Matthew at 4 or 5, by faith, trusted Christ. And then sometimes, some place along the way, we start to get this message that, you know, I got into the family of God by faith, but now I have to have some measure of resolve to have victory in the Christian life. I got into the family of God by faith, and that's good. I'm saved by faith. Amen. Okay, but now I got to have some kind of grit. I just got to keep at it. I got to, oh man, I'm going to have victory over that sin. I'm just going to kick the old devil all over the place and I'm going to have victory over sin. Amen. Okay, that's the idea that we start to get. Was that what you have to have? We even sing songs. Now, I hope this doesn't spoil the song forever, because there is a place for this, but we sing songs like, I am resolved no longer to linger.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight.
Okay, so we sing this song, I am resolved. It was okay, all right? It wasn't the Star Spangled Banner, Pastor Matt, but I mean, it was okay. Man, that was good, buddy. I mean, you hit the high note and you held it out, okay? So anyhow, we sing these songs like, I am resolved. And we start to build in our mind this idea that I've got to stop doing this. Okay. Has there ever been a time in your life, Dr. Jackson? Dr. Jackson, how many years have you been preaching? How many years? About 40 years, okay. Now sit up and listen, okay? Don't be distracted by that. For 40 years, you have been preaching. Dr. Jackson, in 40 years of preaching ministry, has there ever been a time when you told yourself, I am never going to commit that sin again, only to find that you repeated the very thing that you said, I'm never going to do that again? Have you ever done that in 40 years of preaching? Okay, yes. Now, let me ask you this also. But in 40 years of preaching, has there ever been a time when you said, I'm never going to do that again, and you didn't? Ah. Okay, Dr. Dave Tice. Same two questions. Has there ever been a time when you said, I am never going to do that again? And yet, strangely enough, you found yourself doing the very thing that you said, I detest it and I'm never going to do it again. Have you ever had one of those experiences before? Okay, and then same question. Has there ever been a time when you said, you know, it's not right, I've done wrong, and it's not going to happen again, and you had victory over it? Okay. Now, I could repeat the question to Dr. Dave Young. And I could repeat it to a lot of guys in here. Okay, so how about you? The problem with some of you is you would say yes, no. I have said I will never do that again. I'm sick and tired of that sin. And maybe with tears at an altar, maybe weeping with a camp counselor, you wept. I mean, there's tears and snot all over the place. Like, you're never going to do it again. And then, strangely enough, the very thing that you said, I will never do it again. I mean, for some of you, less than 24 hours later, right back again. And then we start to get in this, you know, declining circle that just keeps sucking us downward. And we find that those things that we said, I will never do that again. You know what I have to do? I just have to have more resolve. I just have to fight the devil harder. And I'm going to have victory over this sin. And yet, it seems like there's no victory to be found. Is that the way the Christian life is supposed to be lived? Let me just tell you, if that's the Christian life, what a disappointment. Honestly, we're selling you teenagers who want to know, okay, is this truth really believable? Listen, if we're selling you this pack of goods that says you just got to fight harder, teenager, and you find that the harder you fight, the more disappointed you become, just to be honest with you then, what a frustrating system of faith. So, can there be anything different than that? Okay, let's just refer to the story and turn to it briefly, but we won't belabor the story. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Let's look at that passage for just a moment. Now, you know the story. Joshua chapter 6 is the story about Jericho and the guys that marched around it, okay? In Joshua chapter 6, verse number 1, it starts out, by the way, guys, if you have your Bibles with you, then I'd really like you to use them, okay? You guys got your Bibles? You don't have them? Okay. If you have them, or you have one by somebody, then share them so that they can see it along with us. Joshua chapter 6, verse number 1. Look at how the passage begins. Now, hey, the people are already a picture in the Old Testament. They're a picture of a people saved, okay? The picture has already been, these people have been wandering in the wilderness, but listen, they were wandering in a frustrated Christian life. It's the picture in the Old Testament. The picture in the Old Testament is, okay, when did they get saved? Remember they're in captivity in Egypt? What's the picture of salvation? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Do you remember the song? We sing the song. Okay, the Passover, the lamb was slain, the blood was applied. The death angel passed over those. They passed through the Red Sea. Now, they're starting this experience in the Christian life, the picture is. But they were living in this frustrating land that God didn't intend them to live in. They wandered in the wilderness. And why did they wander in the wilderness? Let me tell you why. Because they had faith to obey God to apply the blood, but they didn't have faith to say, God, we're going to live by your word. By every word that proceeds out of your mouth, we will live by it. And in their mind, in their heart, they turned back to the world, to Egypt. Okay, so now the Jordan River. The Jordan becomes this great picture for us of now, ooh, they're entering into victorious Christian living. What did they have to do to pass over the Jordan? Somebody tell me, raise your hand if you know, what did they have to do to see the Jordan River part and they walk over on dry ground? What did they have to do? Yes, ma'am? Oh, you're close with the story. By the way, there was a passage that's like that, but it's not this exact one. But there was a parting of the Jordan that was just like that. What did they have to do here, the nation of Israel, to pass over the Jordan into the promised land? What did they have to do? Let's get one of the teen guys. Yes, sir? They had to step into what? That's a little scary. Put your foot in the water. So what they had to do is they had to, now listen, by faith, believe that what God said is true. God said, okay, put your foot in the water. When you step into the water, I will part the Jordan. Do you know what we usually want to say? Hey, God, part the Jordan and I'll put my foot down. That's not faith. That's saying, okay, God, you do it and then I'll go ahead and obey. No. God says, by faith, trust me. So a priest put his foot in the water. And what happened? You know, the Jordan parts. People walk over on dry ground. How did that happen? Listen, let's answer the question. How did it happen? How did they part the Jordan? How did they go into the promised land? Picture of victorious Christian living. They did it. Okay, they did it by faith. They're in the promised land. The first battle that they're going to have is Jericho. Joshua chapter 6. Do you see it? Verse number 1. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 says, now Jericho is straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city. All ye men of war, go round about the city once, thus shalt thou do 6 days. Okay, who did God give the information to regarding Jericho? Well, he gave it to Joshua. Did all the people have the information about Jericho? And the answer is no. And then God said this to Joshua. He said a word that is so important. He said to Joshua, see. Joshua, see, I have given into your hand Jericho. Could Joshua scratch his head? Now think, okay, you're on this plane. Not an air, okay, like a big open plane, all right? So you're on this plane, and Joshua stands out there, and he looks, and he can see in the distance Jericho, and God says, hey, Joshua, see? I gave Jericho into your hand. And if it was me, I'd probably scratch my head and say, hey, God, it doesn't look like it's mine yet. How could Joshua see that Jericho was his? How could he see it, teenager? He could see it by two words. What are the words? By faith. See, Joshua, I have given into your hand Jericho, it belongs to you, Joshua. God, that's a big battle. Do you know how big those walls are? God, do you know? They build houses into those walls. God, those walls are some 40 feet above ground. God, I don't know if you know this or not, but those walls are some 20 feet below ground. You can't even dig underneath. God, those walls are so big that it's reported they could race horse chariots on top of the walls. And God says, see, I gave Jericho into your hand. How do I have this? God, that's a big battle. It's beyond our Lord, we haven't even fought and had victory over any battles. How are we going to have a victory over Jericho when we haven't even fought a real battle in the promised land? And God said, see, two words, teenager, by faith. Hey, what Jericho do you have right now? And I hope you're thinking. I hope your mind's engaged. Answer the question. What Jericho do you have right now? Do you say, God, that place is so thick. It is so strong. It is so deep. And God, I'm just telling you, I've thrown some rocks up against that wall before. Man, I'm telling you, I charged that wall before. And I was determined. That wall's coming down. And I went up and God, I just bounced right off that wall. I mean, I thought this time that wall's coming down. And I'm just telling you, Lord, it's not budged. So, you have any Jerichos that you've battled against? God, I'm never going to do that again. I promise you. I hate that. I'm never doing it again. Well, when Joshua's looking at Jericho, good night, how's that thing going to come down? He tells the men, hey men, we're going to battle against Jericho. I love the story of Jericho. It's just a fun story, okay? And the men are all gathered around. Do you think they're a little bit eager for battle? This is a new breed. It's a new generation. All the old, all those guys are dead, okay? So it's a bunch of young people. Listen, everybody, you know, 20 years old and younger, or older died. This is a group of young people. So you got these young guys, they're ready to do anything. Joshua says, guys, we're going to battle. And I'm just telling you, when Joshua says that, these mighty men of valor, I mean, these warriors, they come up, okay, they're ready. Josh says, today we're going to go and we're going to march around Jericho. Damn, march around Jericho. It's like you guys. I mean, all Pastor Matt has to do is say, it's time for highlights. Bum, 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 bum. You guys, you just don't care, you know. You cheer about anything, you know. It's how you act, you know. And this is how these guys were. So we're going to go march around Jericho. Damn! And then what we're going to do, yeah. We're going to march around. Yeah. And then, yeah, this is what we're going to do. We're going to come back home. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come back home. Yeah, we're going to come back home. Yeah, and then we're going to sneak up on him and kill him. No, we're just coming back home. Yeah, yeah, home. Yeah. And by the way, guys, one more thing. Yeah! When we march around the city, yeah, there's to be no talking. No. No, no. No, no, no. No talking. It says it in verse number 10. It says, that when they march around, look at the passage. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall you shout. Okay, so you got a group of grown men. They're the mighty men of battle. They're the warriors. They're going to be the guys. Go to battle. And he says, okay, we're going to battle. Yeah. We're going to march around. Yeah. And then we're going to come back. Yeah. And by the way, no talking. Okay, so he tells them no talking. Do they, let me ask you, do they understand it? Is that how you traditionally, is that the textbook means for bringing down walls? Is this the means by which all human, please think, okay, think. Is this the means by which human reasoning would tell you to have victory over Jericho? Are you listening? Does human reasoning say, okay, if you really want to see walls come down, then march around them and come back home and don't talk while you're doing it? By the way, I conjecture a little bit, but I think that when they first went, Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. They were afraid of Israel. So the first day, when you get this huge army coming, people in Jericho, they're scared. They're looking over top of them. No, oh, they're coming! We're going to die! We're going to die! I love you! Okay, so they're thinking they're going to die. The people come, they march around the city, and they don't say anything. And people are saying, what happened? I'm going to die. Okay, so they think they're going to die, and then the people go home. Ah, we're saved! We're saved! Okay, so they think everything's okay. Day two. Guys! Oof, today, we are going back to Jericho.
We're going to march around Jericho. Then march around.
Okay. They're ready to go, you know. And then today,
yes, we're going to march around. And then we're going to come back home. And by the way, guys,
no talking. No talking. So they march around. People in Jericho, they come back, we're going to die. Okay, and they march around, they go back home. Day three, guys, we're going to Jericho.
Yeah! We're going to march around.
We're going to come back home.
Yeah!
And remember,
we know, no talking.
Okay. 6 days. 6 days. Hey, what happens if the guys, let me ask it this way. What's the evidence that these guys had faith? Yeah. I heard somebody say it. They said they didn't talk. Well, that doesn't make sense. That's stupid. Oh, so you're telling me no talking? Is that what you're telling me? So if I'm going to be godly, I can't talk? Huh? Oh, great. So this is Christianity, huh? We feel like we deserve some kind of answer a lot. So, Dad, why can't I? What, Mom? Mom, do you know what you... Mother, do you know that it's okay for me to have, like, some life? Okay, Mom. No. Mom, our home is not a monastery. Okay. Can I actually, like, go out and talk to people? Mother, nothing bad ever happened from just talking to people. And your mom says, no. Or your dad says, no. Hey, Dad, it would be okay if I... No. Dad, I didn't even finish my sentence. I don't care. The answer's no. How many of you have something in your life right now to which you are being told no, that you have absolutely no understanding as to the reason why? Raise your hand. Okay, very good. Oh, my own son. Okay, put your hands down. Okay, the idea is, well, why not? Listen, don't you think that some guy marching around Jericho had the ability to say, hey, why not? Hey, guys, this talking thing? I mean, come on, Jericho's a big city, so I can't even talk while we're walking around? Oh, like talking is going to cause some very terrible thing? Like the wrath of God is going to come down upon us if we talk? That's stupid. Okay, what was the evidence that these guys had faith? See, they didn't have the explanation. By the way, the Bible never... You study the story out. Now, listen. The Bible never tells us that those guys knew anything about the next day or the next day or the next day. Joshua did, but the guys didn't. So how did they have victory? Day 7, Joshua says, guys, we're going back to Jericho. Yeah! We're going to march around.
We know. One time. Come back home. No talking. We know.
He says, no, it's a little different today.
Huh?
And he says, today?
Yeah.
We're going to march around 7 times.
Whoa.
And then, when I give the signal, I want you to shout with a great shout. Because the Lord's given the victory. What makes guys shout with a great shout? They hadn't seen the victory. Those walls were as strong and as tall and as powerful as ever. So what makes a wall come down, teenager? Let me tell you. Now we say, oh, I like this. I like this by faith stuff. Let me tell you what the evidence of your faith is. The evidence of their faith was obedience. The evidence of their faith You know what? I want to have victory. Do you? Now, please, don't miss it, teenager. Do you want to have victory, or are you content to say, I'm never going to do it again. I hate that sin. I don't want to do it anymore. But before you know it, that sin has you exactly where it wants you, and you feel as frustrated as ever. Is that the life you're content to live? If not, then okay, what did they do? Here's what they did. They said, hey, Joshua, we don't understand it, but okay. Yeah, God told us to do that. Okay. We're not talking. And on the seventh day, when Joshua gave the sign, they marched around seven times. Joshua gives the sign, and finally they get to talk. Finally, some sound gets to come out of their mouth. And I'm just telling you, they shouted with a great shout, like they had just won the victory. The victory, in a sense, was already theirs. Do you understand? The victory, it was as if Jericho was already theirs. How? Because by faith, they saw. And so Joshua gives the signal. And all of a sudden, these guys surrounding Jericho, ah! Ah! And all of a sudden, the walls came falling down. And the city that was impenetrable, the sin that was unconquerable, came crashing down. How did you get saved? And answer the question, I know by God's grace, but how did you enact that grace? You did it by two words, and that is, what are the two words? Okay, so now these guys are already a picture of the Christian life. They're already a picture of what it means to be saved and living and following God. Okay, so how did the walls come down? They're already picturing salvation. This is their Christian life. How did the walls come down? They came down. How? They came down by faith. Okay, I can't tell you how thankful I am to have the privilege of sitting here Tuesday night and hear details about matters that the Bible speaks very plainly about Christian living. The Ten Commandments. Good night. Pastor Evangelist Dave Young hit the Ten Commandments. He just walked through them. And you know, we're sitting there saying, oh, ouch! Oh, yeah, I do that. Yeah, I say that. Yeah, I act that way. Yeah, I've lusted. Yes, I've... Okay, so what do you do about it? And listen, he closed with this. He put it together with, okay, you don't have the strength to do it, but there is somebody who does. Listen, if you miss, at a week of camp, you go home and you say, you know what, I'm going to get rid of my music. Because you listen to trashy music. I'm going to clean up my music. Some of you are going to go back and you're going to clean up your wardrobe. Some of you girls, you say, you know what, everything I wear is tight, it's fitting, it's revealing. And I think it's cute, but you know what? I've been told that I'm presenting myself as somebody that the Bible presents very poorly. And I don't want to go out with the attire of a harlot, so I'm going to clean up my wardrobe. I'm going to dress so that it accentuates my face and not the rest of my body. Some of you guys say, you know what? I've struggled, I mean, day after day after day with the garbage that's on the internet. And I've told God before, I'm sorry, God, help me never do it again. But I mean, it's like a little card house that you set up. And all Satan has to come by and do is go, and any resolve that you have just goes crashing down. Some of you have been just flat out inappropriate with what you're doing with texting. You're just flat out inappropriate with it. And you said, I've got to stop doing that. Okay, so how are you going to do it? There's two words. By faith. Sin can never be conquered by great resolve. Now, you're living in something that's called flesh. But if you, by faith, have trusted Christ, you are empowered by something called the Spirit. And those two coexist. It's an interesting dynamic. So here's Will Kendall. Okay, so Will's a friend of mine, and Will, I think highly of. But Will, I can promise you this. Will, do you know Christ personally? Okay. So you've been born from above. And you were born from above by one reason, and that is by faith. The grace of God, but you enacted it by faith. So Will has what I can see right now, and that's flesh. It's exactly what you have, teenager. And that flesh is forever opposed to Almighty God. It's why the Bible says this. It's why the Bible says that someday death will be swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he tell us? He says, there's victory for you because you have something else, Will. Now, in 1 John, the Bible tells us that if you say that you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Do you know what it means? It means there's never going to come a day, Josh, that you will not struggle with sin. Listen, Dr. Jackson in the back struggles with sin. Now, we see this guy up here and he preaches to us and we say, thank God for that. And he meets the Bible qualifications of what a pastor's supposed to be. But every person sitting in his church understands the reality that, you know, my pastor is a man of flesh because I can see him standing here. Listen, this is the absolute truth. If I have to call somebody because I need advice, I wanted your attention. Okay, if I have to call somebody because I need advice, I just like that. Okay, I got to get one of these at home. Hey, Julie. Feel empowered. Okay. If I have to call somebody. Okay. Sorry. Couldn't help it. Okay. If I have to call somebody. Because I need advice, let me tell you the guy that I call. I call Dave Tice. And I call him sometimes often. And I'll say, hey, how are you? He says, I'm good. How are you? And then he'll say this. He says, hey, I prayed for you this morning. Let me tell you, if there's somebody that is my go-to guy, I call him, and I love to fellowship with him on the phone. We have a lot of fun, and we laugh together a lot. But let me just tell you, I love that man in the Lord because I believe he walks with God. But you know what I know about him? I know because I can see him here in the flesh, that he will, until the day that the flesh is put off and that death is swallowed up in victory, till the corruptible puts on incorruption, till the mortal puts on immortality. Do you know what I know about him? He's going to struggle with sin. But let me tell you, I know something else about him. There is something that is more powerful in him than his flesh, and that's the Spirit of God. And teenager, I want you to know that if you've examined yourself and you have found, I am in the faith, then you have the same power that Dave Tice has. It's power that can, by faith, see Jericho walls come tumbling down. So you have a choice. You can either live with your Jericho. I mean, you can run up against it. I'm going to storm the walls of Jericho. And I, with great resolve, am going to see that thing come tumbling down. And you can run up against it and you can jump up against it. And let me just tell you, you're the person that gets hurt in the process. Or you can start demonstrating your faith by saying, God, my faith comes by obedience. And when I obey, there is power available to me that sees Jericho walls come tumbling down. Who made the walls of Jericho tumble? I mean, that's an easy answer. Who made him tumble? Okay, but who had to obey? Yeah. The soldiers marching around, Israel. What are you going to do, teenager? Now, I'll close with this and we'll be done, okay? Some of you say, I just don't know if I have enough faith. How many of you... I don't know the answer to this. This is the truth. I don't know the answer, but... These are the two oldest guys here, okay? Two oldest guys here, Dr. Jackson, Dr. Tice. And they're both in their early 90s. And so, you know, I don't know the answer to this, but listen, I don't want them to answer, but if I asked them the question, if I said, hey guys, you guys have been preaching for, you know, 73 years each, and so you've been preaching a long time. Are you guys, would you consider yourself to be like a great man of faith? You know, it's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to it. And you don't have to answer. If you came and asked me, hey, Brother Redland, Pastor Redland, would you consider yourself to be a great man of faith? My quick answer, easy answer to me would be, no, I don't. No. I wish I was like this guy of great faith. Oh, man, I got great faith.
Yes! I do consider myself to be a great man of faith.
Well, no, I don't. But I will tell you this. I do consider myself to be a man of faith. A man of faith. I hope I'm not saying something inappropriate, and you guys correct it tomorrow. Okay, if I'm wrong. I'll be gone. I won't know. So, I don't know that it is so important that you be this person of incredible faith as long as you have enough faith to act. Maybe some guys march around Jericho. Maybe some guys, God's going to do some great thing. He's not saying it. He's just thinking it in his mind. I can't wait. Oh, Jericho coming, tumbling down. Okay, so maybe some guy. You know, they're marching around Jericho and they're thinking, oh. They're looking at that wall. And the whole time they're just thinking, it's coming down. Okay, so they're just thinking while they're marching around. And you know what they're doing? They're not talking. They're obeying. But I'm just telling you, there's some guy of great faith. And then some poor other guy is coming down, but it's a big wall. Hope the whole thing comes down. I hope part of it doesn't fall on my head. And so they're walking around. And you know, let me just tell you, what they're doing is they're not talking because by faith they're saying, God, it's a big wall, but I do believe you're a bigger God. Hey, teenager, you might say, yeah, but I have struggled with this sin for so long. I have fallen to this. I've tried to see that wall come tumbling down, but I just don't seem to be able to do it. Okay, well, why don't you just say, God, I don't know how much faith I have. I believe, but help my unbelief. I got enough faith to obey. And so I'll obey. Lord, if I need to go to my parents and make some things right with my parents so I can see some Jericho walls come tumbling down, don't you dare expect for your Jerichos to come tumbling down, but you leave your computer in your room and you don't go talk to your dad. Do you understand? You leave your computer in your room and you say, I'm never going to do that again, but you don't go talk to your dad and say, Dad, I have struggled with that computer in my room. And I'm coming to you and asking you to help me with it. Do you know what that is? It's obedience. It's faith. It's demonstrated by your obedience. Mom, would you help me with my wardrobe? Would you forgive me for my attitude? Would you help me so that I can present properly Christ? Go to your youth pastor. Go to your pastor. Listen, do you want Jericho's to come down or not? You can live with it. That's the other side of Jordan. That's what they call wilderness wanderings. And you can live there, teenager. Or you can stick your foot in the water. You can, by faith, march around Jericho. And let me just tell you, you, teenager, can see, by two words, great victory. Hey, those two words are what? They are... Use it. Let's pray. Would you sit up straight? I know that often...